you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 and 12 to 17. I want to talk this morning about some things to work on. As believers in Christ, there's always some things that we all need to work on. And just going to talk about that here this morning. So Hebrews chapter 12 to 17. It says, so take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. Work at living in peace with everyone. Work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as a firstborn son for a single meal. And you know that after it, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. Father, I just pray you'll bless your word to our hearts, to our understanding. I pray that, Lord, something in this message today, Lord, would be a revealed truth to each one of us, and that, Lord, there'd just be a special word that you would just speak into our hearts during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I want to share with you about some things as Christians that we need to continue to work on and to grow in. You know, the Christian faith is not, you know, you just accept Jesus and it's all done. There's a work that needs to be done, and we all need to press in and draw closer to Jesus Christ. Now, defining work is a purposeful physical, mental, or effort activity that is directed toward achieving a result, completing a task, or a goal. And our goal is Jesus. Our goal is to serve him and to be ready for his coming. And so we want to work on that, you know, physically, mentally, putting an effort into that we can be the best that we can be in our faith. And that's something that we need to work on all of our lives. And you will find that as you grow in your Christian walk with Christ, that it is an ongoing process. Now, sometimes as we work in our faith, it's not always easy. Sometimes trials will come our way from time to time. But the Bible says we need to be prepared for that and to be strong in our faith so that when those trials do come, that we don't waver, we don't fall, but that we keep serving the Lord and keep being strong in our faith. And the Apostle Paul, he kind of gives some great perspectives throughout his writings as he talks to the Christians about, you know, working at our salvation, working at our faith. And I like 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. I like the King James version where it says, and nothing you do for the Lord is in vain. And that's something we need to keep in mind, that you know, sometimes you might feel that our work is in vain, that nobody's listening to us, nobody cares. Maybe you got discouraged, or maybe someone said, you know, all your work means nothing, and kind of really discouraged you in that area. And we need to remember the Bible says it is never, your work for God is never in vain. It's going to accomplish something, whether you see it or not. God's going to accomplish something through your work. And so it's a good reminder to that our work is not in vain. And so everything that we do for God, you know, keep that in mind, that your work is never in vain. So everything we do for Christ, every effort given is noticed by God, and it will be rewarded in this life and, of course, in the life to come. And so keep working on your faith. Get strong in your faith, and also be enthused about your faith. We need to have that as well, to be enthusiastic about a faith, because the Lord sees us, notices us, and will reward us. The Apostle Peter, he also was encouraging us as Christians to keep working on your faith and proving that your faith is real. 2 Peter 1:10-11 says, so dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so there's some great perspectives in there, reminding ourselves that our work is never in vain. It's never useless. It's never a waste of our time. It always accomplishes something. And so to keep working on that faith. And as we keep working on a faith, there's another bonus that kind of happens there, is that keeps you from falling. When you stay busy doing the work of the Lord, when you stay busy pursuing your faith, that helps you that when tough times come, that you don't fall away. And of course, then we also have the perspective of heaven, that heaven is our goal. One day we will spend an eternity with Jesus Christ and heaven. So those are wonderful things to kind of keep in mind as we work for the Lord. Now, getting back to our original text here of Hebrews, once again, we're encouraged to work at our faith to make sure that our faith is strong and that we do not give up. It starts out by saying, take a new grip. Though you may be tired, maybe you got offended, maybe you felt unappreciated, maybe some bad things happened, and maybe you're at a place where you say, I don't even have any strength left to live for God anymore. Well, he's saying, get a fresh grip. You know, hold on once again, get moving again, exercise your faith that it might be strong again. And then he kind of outlines five areas for us to be looking out for as we strengthen our faith, as we work in our faith. There's five areas. Now, that's not an exhaustive list. It's just a list that he happened to give in his closing remarks here in the book of Hebrews. And that's what I would like to look at quickly here this morning, just those five areas where he says that we need to be working on our faith. And so the first area mentioned that we need to work on as Christians is to live in peace. Now, to me, that's a good word for our world today, that we need to learn how to work for peace. Hebrews 12:14, work at living in peace with everyone. You know, sometimes it's easy to work at peace with some people, but not always necessarily easy to work with some other people. And so it's telling us, you know what, you need to work at that, that you can live in peace with everybody. Everybody, everyone. And obviously that's not easy, and it's probably why he's telling us here and encouraging us here, yes, you know what, there's some work for you to do in this whole area of living at peace with other people, even with other Christians. And peace is defined as a state of tranquility, harmony, freedom from conflict, violence, and emotional turmoil. It's a conscious process of cultivating relationships with others, promoting harmony, patience, understanding, and nonviolence. And so it's telling us we need to make it an intentional effort to manage ourselves in this whole area that we might live in peace with others. And of course, that involves, you know, watching ourselves. What's our response? You know, sometimes our responses be kind of quick, and you say something and you immediately realize, oh, I shouldn't have said that. And so there's some things to work on in that whole area, because we're going to be faced with challenges with other people where we need to be compassionate, gracious, and loving. And as we live in peace, there's obviously got to be some self-awareness take place. So if our own behavioral issues, our own maybe patterns that we see in our own lives, or some triggers that are out there that cause a response from us, some attitudes that we may have that maybe need to be adjusted. And as we work on our own stuff, it helps us to deal with things that can come our way when there isn't peace, where resentment can come, anger issues can come, traumas, offenses, and can help us get to a place where we can forgive others for their trespasses against us. And that's not just with our world, but in our homes, in our relationships, in our marriages, and in our churches as believers in Christ. Because the author here is recognizing that even in the church, you know what, people, we're not saints, full saints yet. And there's still work that we all need to do. And sometimes that involves some humbling and some applying some self-control on our part as well, watching our reactions that we might respond, you know, in a calm way, which is probably a good tip for us even in our marriages too, that, you know, when you get in a heated discussion, to stop and take some time, and that you might respond with a very calm response instead of a very vicious or very crippling response to somebody else or even to your own spouse. And so humbling ourselves, watching ourselves, that we make sure that we're living at peace and promoting peace in our lives. And so that's something that's very important. And when we think of the body of Christ and peace in the body of Christ, again, most of the letters that we read in the Bible, they're really addressed to us as Christians. They're not necessarily addressed to the world. Yes, there's lots of things that the world receive as they read it, but really it's addressed to us. And so when it's saying living at peace, you know what? It's actually talking about living at peace as Christians with one another. And we think of all the wars that are happening, the conflicts in our world that are happening. We don't need that among ourselves. We don't need that in the church as well, that there'd be wars in the churches. And so it says, work at peace, work at peace. Romans 12:18 says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Again, it's talking about we need to make some effort towards that, to live at peace with everyone. And why does it say that? Well, it says that because sometimes people can be difficult. And just because we're Christians, we can have a bad day. We can have a bad moment. And so it's kind of like, yes, let's give some graces there and just learn to live at peace with everyone. And so whatever way you really want to look at it, as Christians, we need to work at living at peace with everyone, just like everybody else does as well. So saying, keep working on that. Keep working at living at peace with one another. Keep working at being patient with one another, forgiving one another, encouraging one another, looking for ways to keep the peace. So that's the first point that he tells us. We need to work at these things. Then a secondary way to work at is living a holy life. Now, I think we all realize that none of us are perfect. And just because none of us are perfect shouldn't stop us from working towards being perfect and to be living and striving to live a life that is godly, that is with God's standards, not man's standards, but God's standards. Hebrews 12:14 says, work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. A holy life is defined as a life set apart for God's purposes. It's characterized by moral purity, dedicated to divine principles and transformations into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't just happen when, you know, you open up your heart to Jesus, you welcome Jesus to come into your life, you welcome Jesus to forgive you of your sins. That's our starting point. That's our starting place. And we start to develop a holy life from there on in. We start to change our life. We start to be transformed in our lives that we might live more like God. And that's what godliness is. We're living like God. Now, holiness, it is a daily journey. And, you know, it's characterized by humility, obedience, sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, also paying attention to what the Bible has to say. And so it's submitting ourselves to the Word of God. It's a work in progress for all of us, where we are working to make better choices, good choices, over some of the worldly choices that are out there, or some of the personal desires maybe that we even have as well, and submitting ourselves to the rule of Christ in our hearts. So we are all works in progress. And the key there is that we should be progressing in our faith, that we shouldn't be stuck in one spot, that we keep progressing in our faith to be more and more like God, more and more like Christ. And I realize that out there in our world today, there's a lot of people out there that say, well, holiness, it's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. It's not really overly important. It sure seems to say so here, because it says without holiness, we're not even going to see the Lord. And so obviously that it is important. And you'll see throughout Scripture that the Bible talks about holiness from Old Testament to New Testament to the end. It talks about holiness and the need for holiness among God's people. The Apostle Paul, he says this in 1 Thessalonians 4:7, God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. And so we are to strive towards living a holy life. And then 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16, the Apostle Peter, he says, "But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scripture says, you must be holy because I am holy." So whether we like that whole conversation of holiness, it's in the Bible. And God is telling us that we need to work on living a holy life. It is progress that we need to take. We need to work on that to be more and more like our Savior Jesus Christ. And then third area we need to work on as Christians is to work on looking after one another. Some practical things there that he's getting into. Hebrews 12:15, "Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God." To look after one another involves mutually taking care, watching over, supporting, protecting one another. And we need to be doing that. We need to be looking out for one another, you know, to see what needs are around us. You know, what's a person going through right now? And be paying attention to the people who are around us, that we might minister to them, that we might help them, that we might encourage them, that we might strengthen them. So it's paying attention to the needs of others, being supportive of one another, being compassionate, helping one another, encouraging one another. And we're to do that, the Bible says, keep working in that area where you're looking out after one another. I kind of found it interesting reading an article in the AMA magazine this month for Alberta, and it stated that this is a season to look out after one another. I kind of thought, oh, that's one of the points of my message. We're to look out after one another. Of course, now in the AMA, it's talking about, now that starting to spring is hopefully coming, that, we get care more people are going to be on the roads, we're going to be more people walking and so forth, bikes and motorcycles and all those things, that let's be watching out for one another. You know, it's a season. Well, I think we need to recognize that it's a season right now, spiritually as well, that we need to be looking out for one another. And, all of us could use some help, some encouragement, some guidance at times. And so we need to be there for one another. And some good scriptures on that would be as Jesus was talking about the commandments. Well, what is the second commandment? Matthew 22:39 says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And so that would be a good application in that area of looking after one another or looking out for one another, to be love your neighbors, treat your neighbors you want to be treated. To be looking at that. And then another one, the Apostle Paul gives some good directive here as well. He says in Galatians 6:1, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back into the right path, and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself." So we're to help one another. If you see a person struggling in their faith, come alongside them, help them. We don't need any more condemnation because we get enough of that in our world anyway. But it's like treating one another as brothers and sisters, looking after one another, being there for one another, being willing to work in that area, to be alert in that area, volunteering yourself, helping out, watching, and just making sure, you know what? We want to see that everybody makes it in this journey of faith. And so let's look out for one another. Let's be there for one another. Let's step up and to be watching and working on that area. And then fourthly, we're encouraged to work at guarding against bitterness arising in our lives. So he's getting into some very practical things here as well. Hebrews 12:15 says, "Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many." And again, this is an area where he's speaking to us as Christians that we need to be watching out for, because even just a root of bitterness can cause a lot of problems and spread like poison. And so that's something we really need to watch out for in our relationships with people, our marriages, our faith, because sometimes, bitterness has destroyed many a person. And not just one person, it can destroy a whole family. It can even destroy a whole church when we don't watch ourselves, that this bitterness is a poison that can spread. And so to guard against that, we need to be active, intentional, protecting our hearts, our minds from harboring any deep resentment, anger, or unforgiveness, even if it's, you know, something happened to you that, you know, wasn't called for, wasn't your fault. But we need to be proactive to prevent any root of hurt from growing in a destructive attitude that can harm ourselves or even harm other people. And so, again, why do we get bitter? Well, sometimes it's offense. Sometimes it's wrongful accusations. Sometimes it can be mistreatment by others. Sometimes it can be disappointment in others. Sometimes unmet expectations. Sometimes a betrayal. All kinds of areas that can happen to us that a root of bitterness can come in. And what he's trying to tell us is that you need to deal with that when it's at its root. When it's just starting in your life, that's when you need to attack that, get rid of it, destroy it, get it out of your life. Because if you don't, then it's going to spread like cancer inside of you. So bitterness, it affects us far more than what we realize. And you will find that bitterness will affect your health. It will affect your relationship. It'll affect your marriage. It'll affect your conversations. It'll affect your actions. It'll affect where it can become divisive. And it can spread to others and affect a whole family, even a whole church. So we really need to guard ourselves against any bitterness in our hearts. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." So it's so important. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. If there's things that start to happen, you need to get at it at its infancy. That when it's just starting, when it's just out of the root, you need to deal with those things so it doesn't find a home in your heart. And so that's what we're to do with bitterness. Also, Paul, he goes on to talk about this in Ephesians 4:31-32. He says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." So again, it's an action we're to work at. It says, get rid of it. You don't want that in your life. It will destroy you. So you need to deal with any bitterness that may be arising in your life and deal with that thing and ask God to help you in dealing with that. And then lastly, in this text from Hebrews, we're to work at protecting ourselves from godless behavior. Hebrews 12:16, "Make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as a firstborn son for a single meal." In other words, saying, don't take your Christianity lightly. You know, it's not all that important. Yes, it is. It's very important. Your faith in Christ is very important. You need to take it seriously and live a life according to the word of God. And as you come to faith in Christ, it leads to a whole new standards of living. And guarding ourselves from activities that are considered ungodly or godless. So we're to protect ourselves from anything that God considers godless or ungodly. So we're to watch our behavior in those areas. I like what one commentator, how he expressed this. He said, "Protecting yourself from godless behavior refers to an active, conscious effort to avoid behaviors, thoughts, and situations that tempt you to violate moral, ethical, and spiritual standards." And to go one step further, the author here of Hebrews, he points out an area of godless behavior that has ruined many a life, and that's the area of immorality, sexual activity outside of marriage. And this is quite common in our world today, common behavior. And we need to realize that it also traps Christians. Christians aren't exempt from that temptation as well. And if you've been looking at some of the scandals maybe that you've been seeing on YouTube, you'll see that even pastors need to be very careful in this whole area, because even pastors are falling in this area as well. And so we need to be working at protecting ourselves so that we're not tempted or convinced to engage in behavior that is ungodly or behavior that is outside of marriage. And the Bible says, you know, the marriage bed is something to be kept pure. Hebrews 13:4. Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. And so as you read the Bible, you're going to find that it addresses this issue often. And the other surprising part is that it often addresses this issue to the church. And so it's telling us that, you know what, the church isn't always clean. The church isn't filled with perfect people. There's going to be people there that make mistakes. There's going to be people there that yield to temptations. And so he's telling us, you know what, we really need to work that we don't yield to these kinds of temptations in our lives. So dealing with anything that might be considered godless behavior, compromising situations, or even pornography. Pornography is a huge one today that really affects a lot of people, trips up a lot of Christian people as well, and it can lead to doing a lot of things that we shouldn't be doing in the first place. So as Christians, we're to be working on our moral behavior, resisting temptations that can bring thoughts or actions that would be considered ungodly. And again, you find this through all of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 and 5 says, God's will is for you to be holy. So stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passions like the pagans who do not know God and his way. Basically, it's telling us, as Christians, we're to raise the bar. We are to be different than the people of our world. We're to live a changed life. We're to show that Jesus Christ does make a difference in our lives. And yes, we still need to be gracious with one another as people grow. And depending where you are in your journey of faith, you know what? We're working at making our lives better. We're working towards living a life that is going to be honoring God. And we're thankful for people that are here today that's where you're at. You're working on that. Not everything's perfect yet. Not everything's all good yet. You still got some work to do. And that's what the Bible says. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. Don't stop from doing that. So we're to work at protecting ourselves from all areas of godless behavior and thought, and also to especially protect ourselves against immorality. So in closing, you know, these are only five areas that he mentions. There could be many, many other areas that we could mention where, as Christian people, we need to be working on some things. And we are all works of progress. We're a work in progress. So we're not perfect people. We're still working on some things. Maybe some people might be just at the start. Others might be more near the finish line. But we all make mistakes. We all can fall. We all can mess up, sometimes in small ways, sometimes in big ways. And we need to be careful and to watch our Christianity and to keep working at our Christianity. And if we do fall, the Bible says, well, get a tight grip again. You know, don't just wallow in your failure. Wallow, oh, I'm so ashamed of myself. I made such a terrible mistake. You need to take a fresh grip and start working again at that faith and living for God. And, you know, as we repent of our sin, the Bible says he's faithful, he's just, he's going to forgive us for our sins. And so keep working at your faith. And, you know, put a new effort in there, that we might honor the Lord, that we might please the Lord, that we might be consistent with biblical behavior. Because that's our goal. That's our textbook, is the Bible that we need to be following on. And so, whatever area this morning, maybe you're, one of these areas maybe touched you, maybe it didn't touch you at all. But maybe God decided to speak to you this morning and say, yeah, you got an area too. Pastor didn't mention it this morning, but I'm mentioning to you right now, and maybe the Spirit of the Lord might be mentioning something in your life where the Lord is saying to you, you need to work on this. You need to work this. He's not there to condemn you. He's there to encourage you to say, you need to take a better step. You need to take this journey towards better things. And so that's what God wants to do. He wants to help you to take that journey towards better things, even a better lifestyle, because that's what God is desiring to do. And all of us, that's what he desires to do.